This is Capital Insider, your weekly look inside Oklahoma politics, policy, and government. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. Sean, the legislature returned to the Capitol on Monday and quickly moved on several issues. Lawmakers prove they can move at warp speed when they want to. Brief backstory. On May 4th, the Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled that voters could self-certify absentee ballots without a notary requirement. By May 7th, the House and Senate passed and the governor signed into law a bill that reinstates the notary requirement. Why did the majority in both houses and the governor think that that bill was necessary?
Well, really, it came down to sort of two different issues in the chambers. In the House, there was a lot of concern about fraud, to make sure that the ballots being submitted actually belong to a voter. In the Senate, that discussion was a little different, and it was about ballot verification, and in particular the fact that Oklahoma does not verify absentee ballot signatures when they're received by the county election board. Instead, that is the process that works on the front end with the notary. So you were sort of looking at the same issue from two different angles, but ultimately, as you said, majorities in both chambers agreed, largely led by Republicans, and approved Senate Bill 210, and Governor Kevin Stitt signed that bill on Thursday.
What does SB 210 do?
Well, it really does two things. The first thing it does is to reinstate the notary requirement on mail-in absentee ballots. You'll have to go get your signature notarized if you're going to use an absentee ballot. But for the current election year, it does provide some exemptions to that. If we are in a state of emergency, as we currently are as a result of COVID-19, an individual can mail in a photocopy of one of the acceptable forms of ID, such as your driver's license or your voter ID card, when they submit their absentee ballot, rather than having it notarized.
How were legislators able to move that bill so quickly?
Well, that's really interesting because that is going to happen many times between now and the end of the legislative session when lawmakers complete their work. The bill began in the House as a Senate bill that had previously been approved by the Senate. It was amended in the House and sent back to the Senate, which accepted the amendments from the House. And I know that sounds all very convoluted and complicated, but it is really the process that's going to be utilized through the remainder of the legislative session to pass any bills lawmakers believe are necessary to pass this year before they have to adjourn by May 29th.
So everything probably will go fast.
Everything will move very, very quickly through the remainder of session.
In short order, lawmakers also passed and sent to the governor the General Appropriations Bill for next fiscal year. They were also working on several other bills. How does this all work together?
Working together may be one of the big questions here, because this budget was put together by the House and the Senate without the involvement of the governor's office. In years past, we've talked about that imaginary three-legged stool of the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. In this case, it appears that we may just have a tandem bicycle with the House and the Senate riding it and the governor trying to catch up. This budget proposes to spend $7.7 billion. And as House Appropriations and Budget Chair Kevin Wallace pointed out, it is very creatively put together. It borrows money that would otherwise go to other funds in order to help support the spending. It also proposes a number of bond issues to help free up cash that previously had been dedicated to other purposes. And it does a lot of things in order to balance a budget where they thought they were going to be losing close to $1.4 billion in the coming fiscal year.
And the situation, as we all know, is precarious. Figures are out showing the effect of COVID-19 on the state economy. Unemployment is way up. Gross revenue collections are way down.
Yes, since the middle of March, more than 375,000 Oklahomans have submitted initial unemployment claims with the Oklahoma Employment Security Commission. They have been behind in making those payments, but they seem to be moving toward catching up. The state treasurer, Randy McDaniel, reported this week that gross revenue collections, the total revenue collected by the state in the month of April, was down $0.5 billion. And those collections normally foreshadow what direction general revenue fund collections will move when reported by the Office of Management and Enterprise Services later in the month. Already a revenue failure has been declared for the remainder of this fiscal year, and it looks like these numbers bear out that's going to happen.
Thank you, Sean.
You're very welcome.
And that's Capital Insider. If you have questions, email us at news@kgou.org or contact us on Twitter at @KGOUNews. You can also find us online at kgou.org and ecapital.net. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.